Hey, super friends, if you're a fan of the Geek History Lesson podcast, then you might be a fan of our next comic book called Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio, the second graphic novel in the Jupiter Jet series. It is hitting comic book shops on October 7th and bookstores on October 20th of this year. If you don't know about Jupiter Jet, of course, is the story of a 17-year-old girl with a jetpack who desperately dreams of soaring through the solar system. But when the mysterious black flyer shows up to her world, Jupiter Jet soon will find out that being a superhero requires more than just a jetpack. It features a John Boy Myers of Spawn and Teen Titans cover, and of course, it is 120 pages of adventure science fiction. If you like comic books like Superman Smashes the Clan, DC Superhero Girls, or IDW's Canto, then you're going to love Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio. And don't just take our word for it. Ron Mars, creator of Kyle Rayner Green Lantern, had this to say. I know a little something about building heroes, and this is how you do it, with heart and humor and high adventure. And we're very thankful that Ron Mars gave us a quote for Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio. So, how does this work? Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio can be found on Amazon, can be found on Walmart.com, can be found on any independent bookstore's online website, or you can walk into your local comic book shop and pre-order the book today. If you know anything about the independent author market, then you know that pre-orders really matter. So we would ask that you go into your comic book store today and pre-order Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio. It's our love letter to the comic books of the past, of the 90s. And it's perfect for your grandmother, your dog, and your three-year-old daughter or son. Go check out our next comic book, Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio, hitting comic book stores October 7th. And now, on to the show.
It's time to talk about my favorite Wonder Girl, because your geek history lesson on Cassie Sandsmark is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Glowing Lasso Inman. Welcome to your Mind University. You may be asking, what does that mean? Well, that is the nickname that we give this podcast called Geek History Lesson, which you are listening to now, which is a podcast where we take one character, one team, one construct from pop culture and comic books and video games, and we teach you everything you need to know about them in a little bit less than an hour, sometimes more than an hour, sometimes double an hour. But today, we're going to be talking about the second Wonder Girl?
The third.
She's the third Wonder Girl. Oh, who's the... Do you know the official list? If you don't,
the
that's fine.
The first Wonder Girl is Diana Brentz.
She's considered Wonder Girl?
Yep.
Oh,
the
that's weird.
Second Wonder Girl
is Donna Troy. Oh, okay.
The third Wonder Girl is Cassie Sandsmark.
Yes,
but
we're talking
most
about...
people would probably think of her as the second Wonder Girl because, real quick, Wonder Woman is Wonder Girl in the way that Superman is Superboy.
Okay.
It didn't happen until the 70s and the 60s, and it's kind of a weird Silver Age thing that's never talked about again.
Yeah, I just didn't know. Now that you say that, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't sure.
That's
you know?
Okay. Honestly, of all the things that have happened in Wonder Woman's history, you don't need to really know about it, and we'll talk about it in our Wonder Woman Silver Age
episode. Technically, when I'm watching the Wonder Woman movie, mm-hmm. and I see young Diana, she's Wonder Girl.
Technically, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I'm the headcanon accepted. Ashley, did any of our wonderful listeners request this episode?
We have exactly one TA for this episode.
They're a total Wonder Girl.
That is the exceptional Carlo Cotignola. Pretty sure I crushed that. Thank you for requesting this Cassie episode, because I really wanted to do it. So... with all that out of the way, Jason, why don't we jump right into the 10-cent origin, and why don't you tell our fine listeners what that means?
The 10-cent origin is the section of the podcast where Ashley is going to give you the Cliff Notes version of everything you need to know about Cassie Sandsmark, just in case you go to a spectacularly and secretive German cocktail party, just like Chris Pine does in the first Wonder Woman movie, and perhaps you come upon Dr. Poison, and if Dr. Poison is like... who is Cassie Sandsmark? You will have the answer.
That was a good German.
Thank you.
Almost as good as my Kurt.
I was a little worried. Give us the 10-cent word of Cassie Sandsmark.
Cassandra Elizabeth Cassie Sandsmark is, of course, Wonder Girl, the third Wonder Girl. She is a DC Comics character, and she is a human Olympian demigoddess, which we will unpack over the course of the lesson.
Mm-hmm. We might have some people not familiar with Greek mythology, so demigoddess is a good call.
Yes. She was created by John Byrne, venerable Superman creator. I think most people think about him as associated
with
Fantastic
Superman.
And Fantastic Four, who also had a lot of impact on Wonder Woman and the Wonder Woman family. Her first appearance was in Wonder Woman Volume 2, number 105, in January of 1996.
Yeah.
And her team affiliations have been Teen Titans, Young Justice, and the Amazons. Her abilities include superhuman strength, speed, longevity, agility, stamina, flight, enhanced senses, and a lasso of lightning. We will talk about her lasso and how it's different than Diana's in the lesson. And she is voiced by Mae Whitman on the Young Justice cartoon. Jason, do you know who Mae Whitman is? She is a staple of geekery.
She's somebody in Arrested Development, right?
She's Anne in Arrested Development.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she's in Scott Pilgrim.
Yep, she's Ramona's only evil ex-girlfriend. She's also the voice of Katara in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Is she really?
She is.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, so I just, you know, because
I recognize the name when you said it.
Yeah. She's a big geek.
Wow, she's figure. Super into the geek world.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She's rad. I like her a lot.
We should cast her as something else. Let's make her Wonder Woman.
Great. If you like any of those characters that Mae Whitman played, if you like Wonder Girls, I would highly recommend that while you're listening to this podcast, you go to jasoninman.com.
Because that sounds familiar.
If you go to that website and you go to store, Jason and I have two original comic book series that have pretty wonderful girls in them called Jupiter Jet and called Science, the Elements of Dark Energy that you can get. You can get them signed and personalized. And if you already have them, you can get signed book plates that will do for you. And then if you're looking for something a little more mature, a little more grounded, Jason's amazing debut prose book, Super Soldier, is also available there.
It's not so much debut anymore, but yeah.
Well, it's your first prose book, so it is your debut prose book.
Yeah, it's true.
And the book has not debuted, but it is your debut prose writer.
So jasoninman.com/store.
Yeah. So we're pretty proud of this lesson, and we're pretty proud of everything over there.
Yeah, we like those things. So if you like this podcast, go check it out.
All right.
Now we're going to the meet cute, right?
Yeah, Jason, what's that?
The meet cute is where we're going to tell the characters, the listeners.
The characters.
Who sometimes I think are full of character.
Mm-hmm.
Where we met Cassie Sandsmark for the very first time. Ashley, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm very curious. Where did you meet the third Wonder Girl?
I think my answer is most people's answer, and it's Young Justice, because I think for a lot of people it's either the Young Justice comic or it's the Teen Titans reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are like a diehard Wonder Woman, because those are her biggest, I would say, forays in superheroing. Yes, but it was when I was the OG Young Justice series where she's still working in disguise, but I fell in love with her as a character in the Teen Titans reboot because she's come into her own a little more as a character by that time, because there's almost 10 years between those two, so... Yes. Jason, where did you first meet Cassie Sandsmark?
I first met Cassie Sandsmark in the book that she originated, the John Byrne Wonder Woman run. Because at the time, Wizard Magazine, when it was still being published, was talking a lot about, at this point, Wonder Woman in the 90s had kind of become, for lack of a better term, a dead title. Nobody was really reading it. It wasn't selling that well. And they killed Wonder Woman off, just like they killed Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent off in the 90s. And they sort of did a death of Wonder Woman storyline where Artemis replaced her to try to reinvigorate sales.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It worked for a little bit. And this title was kind of like nothing until John Byrne came on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say nothing, I apologize because, of course, the George Perez beginning of this run was amazing. But for about 100 issues, nothing was really happening here.
Comics have their ups and downs. Yeah. It's happened to Batman. It's happened to Superman.
And John Byrne came in. He gave her a secret identity. He gave her a job as a museum curator, which I think is genius.
Mm-hmm. Which the movie steals.
Mm-hmm. And he introduced Cassie Sansmark. And I can remember the cover because when Cassie was first introduced, she had that black wig and big glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the shorts and the shoes.
I kind of love that costume. I remember the cover where she's in, she on the cover of that issue. It's kind of cool. And I think it's, if I remember right, I could be completely wrong. I think it's her bursting through an old Wonder Woman cover. I could be completely wrong about that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, listeners. But that's where I met her.
If you want to make a note, we'll find it. We'll post it to social media. We will confirm or deny Jason's claims.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on that note, we'll move right into the History 101, which is, of course, the main meat of the lesson where I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. And it's really funny because the first note I have here is like, explain that Cassie is the third Wonder Girl. Diana is the first and Donna was the second. So I'm
we
glad that you...
We already covered that.
I'm glad that you brought that
we
up.
We already covered that.
See if we remember that for any of our lessons going forward.
We won't.
Cassie is the human daughter of Dr. Helena Sansmark and Zeus, the god.
Was there, is there a reason why you landed on human?
Because Zeus.
Okay.
Because at this time, she is considered human. She's not considered a goddess. That comes later. Her mother, Helena, was an archaeologist who worked closely with Wonder Woman excavating ancient Greek sites, which is how her and Zeus started getting to know each other. Because,
let's get it on.
Because Zeus. Cassie was born and grew up idolizing Wonder Woman as a result of not only her mother's close relationship with Wonder Woman, but because Wonder Woman's awesome. And when she was very young, Wonder Woman was fighting this doomsday clone like you do. And Cassie wanted to help Diana, so she crafted her own version of a Wonder Woman costume using the sandals of Hermes and the gauntlet of Atlas, which just kind of happened to be laying around when you are being raised by an archaeologist.
It makes sense that all that stuff would be in a museum, though.
Totally. Her mother was completely horrified and forbade Cassie from ever doing anything so reckless ever again. And that's the end of the lesson. Thank you so much. These 8 or so minutes together this week have been really wonderful.
Well, I will say this. Mm-hmm. During all that, I was furiously Googling.
Uh-huh.
I found the cover.
Uh-huh.
It is Wonder Woman Volume 2, 113. And
well, according to my, her first appearance is Volume 2, 105.
Well, yes, but the cover that I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
It's not her bursting through, because she appears in the series before she becomes Wonder Girl.
Yes.
Is her, like, acting like Superman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a cute cover.
Yeah, it's a very cute cover.
So anyway, this all leads to Cassie making a direct appeal to Zeus. She prays to Zeus and asks for a boon. And I think it's interesting that they specifically use the word boon here.
She like asks boon Zeus companion.
For a boon, yes. The modern definition of a boon is a thing that is helpful or beneficial.
Okay.
And the archaic definition is a favor or a request. So the archaic definition is a little more ephemeral. The modern definition is something very physical. So... Jason, what do you think she asked Zeus for? What was this boon that she wanted?
Her mom's fine right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Her mom's alive, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was trying to think about, like, I was like, oh, is her mother sick? I think she asked Zeus, make me like Wonder Woman.
She asked Zeus for superpowers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, of course, that's the boon. So it's actually, we're actually... playing on the more archaic definition of favor or a request, right? Mm-hmm. She's asking for something intangible. So as, you know, listeners have probably sussed out, Zeus did grant Cassie superpowers.
Yes, of course, Cassie.
But.
That's Zeus.
But.
I should probably make it more like Rip Torn. That's a Disney Hercules reference.
Here's a weird reference. If you read Love is Love, Jason and I wrote a story about
we
Zeus.
We did write a story about Zeus.
Yeah. But Zeus gave Cassie's mother, his paramour, the ability to turn off Cassie's powers simply by touching her.
What?
So, Jason, is this the worst way to diffuse powers ever? Because do you know how much a mother's going to be touching her daughter on a regular basis?
Yeah, that's a little weird. But at this time, Cassie doesn't know that Zeus is her dad.
She does not.
So, which is sort of a retcon, but still. I mean, I will say again, for the dramatics of writing a comic book, I understand why John Byrne did this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does create a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of dopey.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I mean, it's not the worst. I mean, the worst way would be like, say, if her mom like mixed a cup of Kool-Aid and was like, drink this, Cassie, and her powers go away.
Sure. Now, to be fair, I could not find any evidence that her mom ever used this ability, mm-hmm. but I still think it's super dumb.
Yep.
Cassie did receive training by the Amazons, which is pretty cool. With another one-time Wonder Woman herself, Artemis, serving yep. as her main mentor. I like Artemis.
I do too, just not as Wonder Woman.
Exactly. I feel the same yep. way. I don't want her to be Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. But
she's a great supporting character mm-hmm, for Wonder
they've
Woman.
They've used her to do really interesting things. And I think this position, I think this is a great use of mm-hmm. Artemis.
Yeah, she should basically be like Wonder Woman's Luke Fox.
Lucius Fox, 1,000% agree. In addition to looking up to Wonder Woman, Cassie also modeled herself after Donna Troy, who Oh-ho. Is the second Wonder Girl, but a lot of us think of her as kind of the OG Wonder
Who's
Girl.
Dead at this time, I believe.
Who is dead at this time, yes. One of the 100,000 times mm-hmm. Donna Troy dies. In fact, she loved Donna so much that when she first started going out as a superhero, including in that cover we were talking about, she wore a black wig in homage to Donna and to help conceal her identity because you know, her mother really wanted her to mm-hmm. hide her identity. Identity.
You know what else I think that is an homage to?
What?
I think it's an homage to Black Canary because it's an inverse because Black Canary has actual black hair and she wears a blonde
yes,
wig.
At this time,
and
yes.
I think it's a flip on that.
Oh, cute. I wouldn't have thought
yeah.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, Donna actually gifted Cassie the second costume that she ever wore, which is the red jumpsuit with the stars on the side.
You mean the best costume Cassie ever wore?
It's Donna's costume.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
But Cassie was so afraid to wear it because she thought she might ruin it or prove unworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of sad. Cassie is maybe most famous for being a founding member of Young Justice.
Young Justice. Now, Ashley, can I ask you about this?
Yes.
Cassie, so in the storyline of Young Justice,
mm-hmm.
the three boys meet up first.
So I am calling her a founding member.
Okay, can we talk about it? Yeah.
She's the first girl mm-hmm. who joined the team.
She is. Now, okay, because that was going to be the question.
But you're right.
When Young Justice originally forms, it's only Robin, Impulse, and Superboy.
You're right. You're absolutely right. She's the first girl who joins the team, and I would consider anyone in that original lineup to be a quote-unquote founding member was the first team.
You're within the first year kind
yeah.
of a thing. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest with you, I have no problem with calling her a founding member, mm-hmm. but I was like, I remember the first arc only being the boys.
It is only the boys, and then Cassie shows up right at the end
of
that arc.
Yes, yes.
If you want to hear more about that, I taught the Young Justice lesson. It's episode 240.
Go back to the archives.
Which she joined because publishing was like, damn, we got to put a girl on this team. And also because she had a crush on Superboy and she wanted to crush him with her body. She was drawn away. Thank you so much.
All right there.
I mean, there is a lot of story about how much Cassie likes Connor.
Look, they're teenagers,
and
yo.
Connor really likes Sissy. And there's a lot of kind of tension mm-hmm. that comes out of that. But she was drawn away from her duties as a member of Young Justice when Oblivion attacked Wonder Woman's Dome Palace in Gateway City at the time. She wasn't in Motor City anymore.
Oh, no. Gateway City is the correct city. I'm sorry.
Oh, and Artemis kind of orders Cassie to leave Young Justice behind and come and help. And Cassie spends a lot of time being pulled back and forth between her duties to Young Justice or her duties to the Teen Titans and her duties to any of the Amazons, basically.
I mean,
and I'm also, I'm glossing over a lot of the Young Justice stuff because, like I mentioned, we did a full lesson.
Well, it's one of those things, too, when you think about, some of these kids in the DC universe. If she's a member of Teen Titans, and she's a member of the Young Justice, she's a member, she's also Wonder Woman's sidekick, and she gets trained by the Amazons, and she goes to school, mm-hmm. you're like, where do you have the time? Do you just never sleep?
Well, I mean, Tim Drake never sleeps. That's actually a point in his series.
Well, that's because Batman jacks him up all those amphetamines, so.
Oh, boy. Child abuse.
It's true.
Yes. So I wanted to reference this Oblivion event specifically because Artemis calls her and is in such a panic that Cassie has no time to put on her costume or to put on her wig to put on her glasses.
Oh, boy.
So this marks Cassie going public with her secret identity and her blonde hair for the first time in her continuity. And from this point forward, the wig is gone.
And the glasses, too.
And the glasses, yep. And she becomes the version of Wonder Woman that I really love, a Wonder Girl. And she becomes that iconic, like, blonde with the star motif, and eventually leads
with
to
the red, kind of Donna-like outfit.
Yes.
Which
has her belly out sometimes, but it leads to that amazing Doc Shaner cover in the Young Justice reboot. So
I will say, though, I do have, I don't know if this is going to be a further discussion point, I do have a fondness for the original costume.
Let's put a pin in that for the discussion.
Okay.
So although Young Justice began its life as a story of three boys, like Jason said, with three girls
as silly
side characters, it did evolve along the way, and Cassie did eventually become team leader. She's the first female to lead Young Justice, following the question of Robin's leadership coming up. So this kind of happens around the same time that it's revealed that Batman kept secret files on all the members of the Justice League.
So Tower of Babylon.
That's right. So Robin comes under suspicion as well. So in Tim Drake's place, Cassie was elected as leader by her teammates. And like 5 seconds after this, Silver Swan, who's a Wonder Woman villain, attacked her high school. And so Cassie was forced to publicly out herself again because girls can't have nice things like secret identity. And she has to rush off to her high school and save everyone and out herself to her principal and everyone there. And then, you know, Jason was talking about, when do they sleep? How do they balance their lives? Cassie kind of gets the brunt of this because there's this storyline about her outing herself to her high school classmates, and then that becomes a running B plot for her for a long, long time. Young Justice is then disbanded after the graduation day crossover with Titans, where a Superman android appeared to kill Donna Troy. And Cassie was so crushed by the death of one of her idols that she quit being Wonder Girl and kind of did absolutely nothing. Until DC decided that Geoff Johns was allowed to reboot the Teen Titans.
And, which was literally a month later.
Yeah, it wasn't that much time later. Young Ashley's life was changed forever for the better. Not long after this team was formed, Cassie is visited by Ares. I think it might be in the first volume of Teen Titans.
It is.
But you can go and listen to our two-part Teen Titans episode for that. Who is a pretty bad guy, you know, mythologically and in the history of Wonder Woman. Like, Ares always kind of shows up to muck about and start a lot of drama.
Well, he's the villain of the first Wonder Woman movie, so.
That's true, as played by Remus Lupin. And he gave her a lasso. So up to this point, up to like 2004, Wonder Girl doesn't even have a lasso. She just kind of has some fixed and some moxie and awake for a while.
Doesn't she have gauntlets? Am I wrong
she
on that?
She does have gauntlets.
She has bracelets?
Yeah, she has bracelets.
I don't know where they come from, but Jenna,
they came
I know
from
she
that first time she suited up. She got them from her mom in the museum because her mom's the archaeologist. So this particular lasso came with some baggage because it's powered by anger, because Ares, God of War, anger, kind of part of that whole package. It also dispels lightning, which is pretty cool, and it makes the lasso different from the lasso of Hestia that Wonder Woman classically works with. So she can shoot lightning with it. She can electrocute the people that she's using it on. It also meant that Ares would just kind of show up and speak cryptically at her throughout this Teen Titans run. And he spends a lot of time like warning her that things are going to happen, like she's going to get angry and this is going to take off and the Teen Titans are going to fall. And like none of it ultimately paid off. So we're just going to gloss over that right now. Cassie did finally, during the Teen Titans run, get to have a romantic relationship with Superboy. And one of the complications that arises in their relationships was Cassie keeping secrets about where the lasso came from and who had given it to her. Because literally, like, Ares shows up to her room in Titans Tower and is like, here you go, you're welcome. And then she never really tells anyone where it came from. She's like, I found it. Who knows how this happened?
And then their first date, Connor's ripped away to the 31st century for 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months his time.
Yeah. I was literally going to be like, however, in a storyline called Titans Tomorrow.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, the team is thrown through space and time into the future. So I was going to ask Jason, how do you think Cassie makes out in the future?
What do you mean?
So in Titans Tomorrow, they all get sent to the future.
Sure.
Do you think Cassie does okay in the future? Do you think
Are
she
you
becomes...
asking me about the future version of Cassie we see in Titans Tomorrow?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just didn't quite understand.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know if you were familiar with
it. Oh, yes. I'm very familiar.
Like, do you think she makes out okay?
She becomes, she's evil Amazon.
Yeah. So she is still together with Connor, although the exact terms of their relationship are like never defined. We don't know if they're dating or if they're boyfriend or girlfriend or if they're like friends with benefits or whatever. She is Wonder Woman. Because in that continuity, Diana had died during, quote unquote, the crisis. Which crisis? Who knows?
There's 17 of them.
It doesn't specify the crisis, but she is an angry version of Wonder Woman because she is referred to by all the other characters as Ares' champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this storyline happens way, way later, but I just wanted to mention it now because we're talking about Ares and his relationship with her. And that's really all we're going to talk about Titans tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
After this, she discovered back in her normal present, so they're flung back to their normal present day. She learns that she is the daughter of Zeus for the first time and that her parents had lied to her for her entire life up to this point because her mother had told her that her father had died. And
yes.
Zeus was just kind of around because Zeus. Her relationship with Superboy comes under a lot of stress around this time because she becomes possessed by Lex Luthor and he forces her to fight with Connor. And then they're like, oh, no, do we really love each other? Connor literally beats her to almost a pulp and then runs away to hide at the Kent farm instead of sitting down with his girlfriend and talking about what happened like a mature person because they're like 16 years old and they're superheroes. So things are weird and they're complicated.
Yes.
But she gets beat up so very badly, like 10 minutes after this, during the Return of Donna Troy storyline, because Cassie, along with several other Titans, travel out to space where Donna had been hiding out, and she's got problems with her memory, so she beats up Cassie until her memories are restored, and she remembers who Cassie was, and that she likes Cassie, and that she gives her her costume, and then she kind of stops, and this... Directly after this, Cassie takes a break from being a superhero. She got beat up by her mentor. She got beat up by her boyfriend. And she doesn't come back until a next big event. Now, big events are a huge part of comic book continuity. They become a huge part of TV continuity. And if you guys like hearing a lot about comic events and their impact on our geeky little society, I would really, really recommend going to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, because we did Crisis Club over there that we put parts of in this feed, and we're doing Blackest Night Club over there, and we're really diving into big comic book events. Cassie's a big part of them, and if you go over there and you...
Cassie's a big part of Blackest Night.
Yeah, that's why we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've enjoyed this and you've always wanted to support us, we have more supplemental content about these incredible, incredible characters. And by going over to Patreon and supporting us, you are helping us continue to be able to talk about these characters.
Yeah, man.
And keep the lights on here. So patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Plus, if you sign up at Blackest Night Club level, you will get Geek History Lesson Extra, where we're going to talk even more about Cassie after this episode is done.
Sure. Thanks to the support, patrons.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So the next time we see Cassie is during something known as Infinite Crisis. Jason, what is Infinite Crisis?
Superboy Prime is this old Superboy. He's around 1985. And he went to a heaven dimension. And he was like, I'm bored of this heaven dimension. And he began punching at the edges of reality. Changing DC continuity throughout comic books.
By punching it.
And him and Alexander Luthor, who is a Luthor from Earth 3, who you can learn a lot about in Crisis Club over at our patreon.com/Jawin, or at a Crisis Club episodes in the Geek Hustle feed, they tried to remake the universe. And of course, the DC superheroes had to beat them, but there were a lot of casualties in that event. Infinite casualties, you could say.
So as a result of having recently been beat up by Connor and Donna, Cassie discovers that her powers are in flux. They kind of have a bad habit of disappearing when she needs them the most. And so during this event, she almost gets beaten to death by Superboy Prime.
Well, fair point here. Almost everybody in this storyline gets beaten to death by Superboy Prime.
You are absolutely...
He pulls people's arms off in this event.
You are absolutely right. It's just weird that in these three separate storylines...
It's like 1, 2, 3.
Right in a row... Poor little Cassie, who's a great superhero, gets the snot beat out of her.
She's an Amazon, man. Like, I don't know. It's quite crazy. But no, Superboy Prime beats up literally everybody in the storyline that he meets.
Yeah. Cassie's not a huge part of Infinite Crisis,
no, she's not.
If we're going to be fair. I just kind of pointing out these
She's more evolved
themes.
In the aftermath.
Yes. So even though Connor dies in the events of Infinite Crisis, I want to tell you really quickly about a story that happens right before Infinite Crisis. And Connor is really, really upset, and he's afraid that him and Cassie are going to die because, like Jason mentioned, a whole bunch of people get beat up and die during Infinite Crisis. They have kind of like a last date slash last night together.
Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful cover to this issue. It's them floating on a picnic table.
He brings her to Smallville, and they kind of spend their last night on Earth together. I read this issue, and I think it's supposed to be a really nice and a really sweet moment, but I actually think it reads as kind of weird.
Oh, really? Why?
I think it's weird because they're underage.
Well, to me...
And we don't...
That issue heavily implies they sleep together.
Exactly. And it's not gratuitous. You don't see it, but I'm kind of like...
Do you think they shouldn't sleep together?
Look, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but there's part of me that's like, huh, it's kind of weird that, like, I'm reading this as an adult person. I'm like, yeah, these teens did it. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this. because from my everything that I've ever read about Connor, Connor's 18. How old do you think Cassie is? Like, where would you put Cassie in terms of age? I honestly don't know.
I guess for me...
Is she 16?
If you're a member of the Teen Titans and they don't tell me your age implicitly,
yeah.
I assume you're 14 to 16.
Where would you place Cassie on that scale then?
16 or 17.
She's 16 or 17. Because I literally
have never seen anything from Cassie except where they fling her to the future, where I'm like, yeah, you're a grown up. Like, to me, she's always a teenage girl.
Well, in the original Connor story, they say he was a clone aged to 18. So I've always thought it was funny that they keep throwing him back in high school, because I'm like, well, he's 18, guys.
Well, you can be 18 and be in high school.
Sure.
Look, and I'm not saying that teens don't do that, but like,
That's an interesting observation.
I do think it's weird to be like, this is a whole issue, to be like, yeah, these kids are knocking boots.
I will say, too, that it's...
Hooray, we're happy.
Yeah, I will say it's an interesting thing, too, because I think in the Geoff Johns Teen Titans run, the reason why I have some problems with Cassie in that run is because... I think they draw Cassie as an adult in that run.
Well,
and to me, I'm like, she's definitely not an adult.
We've talked about this in many episodes. Mm-hmm. The way they draw teenage female characters is troubling. I always go back to, and I love the artist, and I love this book, in Young Avengers, Cassie is supposed to be, Cassie Lang is supposed to be 14. And they draw her the same way that they draw Miss Marvel, Carol Miss Marvel, who's an adult at that time. And 14-year-old girls don't look like 24-year-old women, regardless of what your body looks like.
Okay.
Like, you just don't. So I don't know. So I kind of have weird feelings about this. Like, I know we're supposed to think it's sweet, but there's part of me that's like,
interesting discussion.
But after Connor dies, Cassie's really angry, right? Because it's a huge part of grief.
By the way, we should explain, he dies because Superboy Prime beats him to death.
Yeah, beats the living snot out of him. So she's angry. Which Greek god shows up when you're angry, Jason?
Ares.
That's right.
Okay.
So he crops up again and is like, hey, girl, I know what's going on with your powers. I'll tell you. And she goes, please tell me. And he reveals that Zeus had been siphoning away her powers because he had left the mortal plane. So he had no more use for any of his earthbound champions, including her, because all of her powers came from Zeus. So Ares says, you know, I can restore your powers if you acknowledge that I am your brother, because she knows that Zeus is your dad, and you agree to be my champion. Spoiler alert, she agrees, tying up the Titans Tomorrow story, where we see her in the future and she's being referred to as Ares' champion.
That's a little weird, but what does that mean, that she's Ares' champion, really, I guess?
So, you know, in the Iliad,
where
Ares, Hector becomes Ares' champion, he goes down and he gives her, it means that all of her powers are siphoned and are a gift from Ares.
Oh, but it doesn't mean that, like, Ares can, like, call you up on the phone and be like, hey, man, I know it's, like, 11:30 at night, but could you, like, hop on down to Subway and get me that foot long?
It kind of means that Ares can call you up at 11:30 at night and be like, hey, I need you to go to Namibia and kill this person, and you will.
But also, I need that foot long.
The Greg Rucka Wonder Woman story actually plays with us a little bit in the second volume, which Cassie's a part of, because she's Athena's champion, and Athena kind of manipulates...
Wonder Woman is Athena's champion.
Yes, okay. and Athena kind of manipulates Diana into doing a number of things and killing a bunch of monsters that make her the queen of Olympus instead of Zeus.
Okay, interesting. Cool.
So that's what it's kind of like how we are in service of our patrons.
Sure.
You are in service of this god.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would happily get a foot long at 11:30 for any of our patrons.
someone's going to ask you, so don't say that.
Well, that only qualifies if you're...
If you come to L.A.
You come to L.A.
We'll buy you a
footlong. And you're staying in our house.
She, Cassie then quits the Teen Titans just in time for Jason Inman's favorite story, 52.
52.
And Jason, if you want to jump in and expound on this as our resident expert on 52, you are of course
52
welcome.
52 is the series that happened after Infinite Crisis because all of DC Comics' storyline jumped ahead a year in the 1 year later storyline. And 52 was a weekly comic that explained what happened in that missing year. It was written by a all-star lineup, Jeff Johns, Grant Morrison, Greg Rucka, Mark Waid, all co-wrote it. It is amazing.
I meant more like if you wanted to talk about the details of what Cassie gets up to, but that was great.
Cassie.
I have points, but I know you've...
Cassie, if I remember right, they learned that there is a... and please correct me at any point.
Kryptonian resurrection.
They learned that there's a Kryptonian resurrection cult because like the upside down Superman symbol means resurrection instead of hope.
Yes, because...
Or the upside down Superman symbol means resurrection.
It's so funny because I have a note about that. So Cassie... when she joins the Kryptonian cult, she kind of does fun things. Like she sets up an altar in Titan's Tower and decorates it with crystals, mm-hmm. which is something that I've been doing for years. So apparently I've been in a Kryptonian cult as well.
Yes, you have.
She winds up recruited by...
Oh, mighty Rao. Oh, mighty Rao.
She's recruited by Ralph Dibny.
Please bless our Keylexes.
Amen. In the name of Cal and Connor yep. and John.
May all our cryptos be the best boys.
Yeah, we can get bring up.
All hail to Streaky.
Now,
Comet the Super Horse, may he stride eventually across the cosmos.
That's very funny.
Go to hell, Lex Luthor.
Brainiac is okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And she's the notes that I have said that she was recruited by Ralph Dibny,
yes.
who was trying to resurrect his wife Sue.
Yes.
Because Sue's grave was desecrated by an upside down House of El shield, which apparently signifies resurrection. And then I had a note that says, Jason, can you confirm or deny this fact?
Yeah, that is confirmation.
I had never heard that
so
before.
So Ralph Dibny, elongated man, is one of the main characters of 52, and mm-hmm. he's still dealing with the fallout of his
kind of the most important thing that ever happens to him.
His dead wife, Sue, who died in Identity Crisis. And he finds her grave desecrated. I believe you find out that Cassie did it because Cassie is like, oh, hey, Ralph, like I found out this way that yes. I can bring back Connor. You should bring back Sue. And like an expertly written book, I believe the Ralph Dibny stuff is written by Mark Waid. But there are some great ideas to where you're not quite certain whether... it was successful or not, that Ralph's ceremony with Sue might have worked.
Yeah.
Which is really great. I love that the comic doesn't confirm it.
So Cassie brings the entire cult to help Ralph because he's like, please help me. And because I guess she's a good friend.
Oh, by the way, when Ralph is meeting Cassie, mm-hmm. like, so Ralph plays both sides. Like Ralph kind of plays Cassie, but also Ralph brings along his friends, his sort of heavenly squad or people that have dealt with resurrection.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, who had just come back from the dead. Oliver Queen, Green Arrow, who would come back in Quiver. And then
she got our book club episode on mm-hmm. Quiver.
And then Zor-El, the fallen angel yes. from heaven, who was a member of Grant Morrison's JLA.
And, by meeting with Ralph, this is when we get confirmation that the cult is focused on resurrecting Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get a peek that Cassie's kind of having a psychotic break
yep.
In her grief. They want to practice their resurrection ritual on Sue because they don't know if it's going to work or not.
They don't want to waste it on Connor. Now, I will say this, Ashley, since you just told us that Cassie was literally smacked in the head grievously three times.
In a row? She's a serial killer.
This kind of makes sense.
Because you mean her break? Because it's a very anti-Cassie yep. way to act.
Because when I will say when I read this in 52 mm-hmm. originally, I kind of was like, I don't know if I buy this. But I'll tell you now that you've given me this history that she was like literally had serious head wounds before. She probably had concussions. It makes sense that she was like, all hail mighty Ralph.
Yeah. Ralph is on the fence about this for a while, and he actually winds up interrupting the ceremony on Sue, which yes. is why I think it's kind of left for you to believe whether or not Sue was successfully resurrected.
I'm just going
to
say there is a corpse. There's Sue's corpse on a table, and it moves.
Cassie gets real mad about this, but kind of continues down this path until 52 morphs into 1 year later, where it is revealed that she has been following the Brotherhood of Evil in the hopes that they would bring Superboy back to life.
Yep.
She also gets a costume change during this time.
She does.
Which is mostly just jeans and a Wonder Woman bustier, and I'm kind of here for it. I like it. She's one of the only Wonder Girl who gets pants for more than a couple seconds. She flips back to the Teen Titans, though, and ultimately helps them and the Doom Patrol take down the Brotherhood of Evil from the inside. The Brotherhood of Evil, of course, classic Doom Patrol foes. Then she's like, well, it was fun working with the Teen Titans to take down the Brotherhood, but I don't know if I can really deal with this. So she's like, I'm going to tell Tim and I'm going to leave the team again and do whatever it is that side characters do when they're not on the teams. And she discovers that Tim has also been trying to bring Connor back and resurrect him. And he has a bunch of creepy half-clone scientific experiments a la Ra's al Ghul and Damian floating in these tubey tubes. And she gets mad and Tim gets mad and they scream at each other. And then because they're teenagers, they kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it. They don't really discuss it with this point, with each other, rather. They don't really deal with it, but they do go around in their respective storylines of business and tell just about every other superhero in the universe that they kissed each other and that they don't know how to feel about it. Because again, kind of like I mentioned with Connor earlier, God forbid they sat down and talked to each other and solved the problem. And again, I understand you're trying to have conflict and storytelling, but the good thing about this is, though, is that Cassie finally starts to deal with her grief over Connor's passing.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of comes back to being the Cassie that we know and love. She forms a deeper bond with Donna Troy, and this opens her up to a friendship with Supergirl for the first time.
Oh, interesting.
And because they do look so similar, it kind of feels like a long time coming. Like, I would have loved a World's Finest with these two characters. I think it would have been super cute.
Yeah, interesting.
We do have a lesson on Supergirl. It's episode 87.
Well done.
Then the Amazons attacked Washington, D.C. And Supergirl and Wonder Girl discovered that their human families had been placed in internment camps because they were viewed as Amazonian sympathizers. So nobody's really happy about that. And in order to free their families, Supergirl and Wonder Girl bring the president to Queen Hippolyta for an audience and to begin peace talks. However, the president is mortally wounded during a surprise attack and things don't go so well. Feeling lied to, Cassie declares that in spite of where she came from, she no longer identifies as an Amazon, and instead she will only identify as a Titan.
Mm.
So she leaves with Tim Drake.
Seems very subjective, but okay.
Yeah.
She's a teenager, I guess. She's a teenager.
She leaves with Tim Drake. She kisses him in front of the entire Teen Titans, and everyone kind of goes, yay!
For a second there, I thought you were going to tell me that she kissed Tim Drake right in front of all the Amazons and be like, look what I can do.
I brought a boy to the island.
And I'm going to kiss him.
I'm not a lesbian anymore. I could have been Supergirl's girlfriend, and wouldn't that have been adorable? But no.
And Artemis secretly back in the corner is like, I left the island and kissed a boy once too.
And Diana's like, girl, I've been doing it since the 40s.
Diana's like, nobody remembers your run of the 90s. Forget about it.
Yeah,
You're just the ginger Wonder Woman.
That's so funny. So Cassie and Tim date for like an entire minute, but their relationship ultimately ends and animosity grows between them to remind us that they're still teenagers. This tension, of course, spills over to the rest of the Teen Titans. It affects the way the team works together until Cassie leaves and created a new secret identity in a miniseries called Wonder Woman, Labors of Cassandra, by Jay Torres, Nathan Massengill, and Sanford Green. Jason, do you know what her new secret name is?
Okay, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
This is an astounding moment in geek history lesson history. Because do you want to know what?
What?
I have never heard of this miniseries.
Oh, wow.
I have.
It's not in print right now.
I have.
It can be found and it's really quite good.
I have known nothing about this. Oh. I literally have never heard of this before. It to me, it's like you discovered a new Beatles album. I'm like, what is this that you're talking about? So I've never heard of this miniseries. Okay. She gets a new code name?
She gets a new human name. So instead of Cassandra, she calls herself...
Sissy Spacek.
Drusilla.
Oh,
do you know why
God.
She calls herself Drusilla?
Well, because somebody was a Buffy fan, that's why.
Drusilla is Wonder Girl's name in the Wonder Woman 77 show.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Okay.
And she basically just kind of wears a Wonder Woman swimsuit with no padding in it, but Drusilla is a Wonder Woman 70... She's played Wonder Woman.
So Linda Carter.
She's Linda Carter's sidekick. So she renames herself Drusilla in honor of...
But she... So Cassie, she kind of wears like the 90s Wonder Woman suit where it's a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Oh, I have never seen a picture of that.
We'll find it.
You should share a picture of that.
So during this miniseries, Cassie spends most of her time trying to make up for the harsh actions taken by her Amazonian sisters during Amazon's attacks. And she meets her half-brother Hercules... who even goes so far as to take the form of Superboy in order to get her attention because she's like, go away. And then he dresses up like Connor and tricks
that
her
guy took some legendary
him.
Journeys.
Yeah, you know, he's disappointed.
He's disappointed. That's a meme. Look it up.
The storyline is really weird and it gets extra weird when you consider that Wonder Woman got a secret brother 7 years later in her main title. But what's kind of cool about it is it's called the labors of Cassandra in honor of the labors of Hercules, right? Because Hercules undertakes
the 12
labors.
Labors.
Yeah. So Cassie kind of does that too in an homage to that and in penance for the way her sisters have acted.
Interesting. So what do you think about the series?
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
I don't think it was executed to its fullest potential, but it's a great moment. Cassie gets like no miniseries and no standalone series.
Well, this is technically her only sort of solo series.
Yeah. Cass and Hercules work together to find out who's been trying to kill the Olympian gods and goddesses because that was happening.
Sorry, what is it called again? What's it called again?
It is called Wonder Girl : Labors of Cassandra.
Okay, labor. Okay, cool.
And Hercules is like, you know who we should ally ourselves with while we're trying to figure out what's happening? The female Furies, because they hope that if they can't save the gods, that working with the Furies, they can create a new pantheon because he secretly wants to be the new Zeus in this mm-hmm. new pantheon of gods. Of course, the Furies are using Hercules to get to Cassandra. They kidnap her mother in order to get her to do their bidding because they want Cassie to become a new female Fury. Everything comes to a climax when Cassie has to fight Hercules, and luckily for her, the Teen Titans, Empress, Arrowette, and Wonder Woman all show up to help. She wins the day, Hercules saves her from the Furies, and she is given demigod status by Zeus before he leaves, and then sends Hercules off to complete his labors. The best thing that comes out of the storyline is that Cassie and Wonder Woman really repair their relationship. They have a tough relationship for a long time. And Diana acknowledges that Cassandra has finally become her own woman and is, in Diana's eyes, now an adult. Following this, Cassie takes it upon herself to put together a new team of Teen Titans with Kid Devil helping her. Jason, can you try to guess who they try to recruit and fail at getting?
In that storyline or as part
yeah,
of the team
that,
or
in that storyline.
So these, well, cause I know who the Kid Devil team, I know who's on the Kid Devil team. You're saying that there's a bunch of people that turn them down.
Yeah. So they try to get Clarion, Shining Knight, and all the underage members of the Justice Society of America, like Stargirl. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, absolutely not.
Oh, weird.
And they succeed in recruiting Static, Aqualad, and Kid Eternity.
Yes, I remember Kid Eternity.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, I guess so. Not long after this, Brainiac 5 brings Superboy back to life. Hooray. But even though Cassie wanted him back more than anything, she waits until Martha Kent invites her to the Kent farm for dinner to believe that Connor is really back because she doesn't want to, quote, end up as Lana Lang, which I think is so disrespectful. She doesn't want to be his best friend. She wants to be his Lois Lane.
Oh, Okay.
But like she said, she's like, I don't want to end up as Lana Lang.
I think that's weird that Cassie knows that. That knows, like, Cassie knows who Lana is.
I agree, but I didn't write that comic.
Okay, cool.
However, Cassie and Connor have a heart to heart. They ultimately decide to move forward with their romantic relationship. Kid Devil dies working with the Teen Titans after this, and Connor refuses to rejoin the team. So Cassie kind of begins having this internal crisis about her qualifications to lead the team because she's, in the absence of Kid Devil, kind of the only person left to be in charge. In fact, she's so crippled by guilt that when the team is fighting Cinderblock, that classic villain, on a rampage in San Francisco, she refuses to let them attack him for fear that something bad will happen. And they just kind of freeze and don't accomplish anything. And then an adult Beast Boy has to take over leadership in order to kind of win the day. He even goes so far as to move back into Titan's Tower and formally replace Cassie as team leader. And this causes a lot of fights and friction between the two of them that immediately gets derailed because Blackest Night happens.
All right.
Cassie, Kid Flash, and Beast Boy defend Titan's Tower during this event, get their butts handed to them. A lot more detail on that in Blackest Night Club. Another reason to go over to Patreon and check that out.
Yeah, basically, we're giving you a Ken Burns video documentary on Blackest Night.
Yeah. It's a pretty important event for Cassie because she's killed by Donna Troy ripping out her heart during the battle for Coast City. Just kidding. It's a trick by Aphrodite. She doesn't really die.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was like, she didn't die in that.
she dies for like three
panels. She fake dies. Okay.
Yeah. Following Blackest Night, she travels to New York City to confront Beast Boy about his remarks where he says she's not a good leader and confront Cyborg because Cyborg, of course, backs up Beast Boy's claims.
Yeah.
They're best buddies. They're co-leaders. Uh-huh. She goes back to San Francisco to lead the Titans' charge against the villain Holocaust, who had captured Static. And after their victory, Connor remarks that she seems to be ignoring him. And you know what she says to him? You're right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. The Teen Titans disband again. After they travel to an alternate dimension and fail to rescue Raven, and all the members have their powers stripped away, including Cassie, who's temporarily depowered. She kind of falls into the annoying trope that a lot of Superman family do, and she gets all mopey when she gets depowered, but doesn't remain depowered. So they kind of strip her abilities away to make her a bummer and then just bring them back right after with almost no consequences.
All right.
Then the New 52 happens. Jason, what's the New 52?
The New 52 is a reboot of DC that happens when Barry Allen runs into the past because he misses his mommy and he resets the entire DC universe. So everything you read in the past doesn't exist anymore unless you're Batman or Green Lantern. Then it exists, but everyone else is brand new, and even the Teen Titans are all brand new. And we have a lot of lines, we have a lot of cleavage, and we have a lot of butts now.
Yeah, Cassie actually kind of remains mostly the same. She's introduced as a member of Tim Drake's present-day Teen Titans team. However, she doesn't like being called Wonder Girl, which is totally lame. You can call me Wonder Girl anytime. Mm-hmm. That's a great name. But she's like, call me Cassie. And you're like, okay. This version of Cassie is a human teenage thief, mm-hmm, who stole the pair of magical gauntlets from the temple without knowing their true power. So like Jason mentioned at the top of this episode, there's always gauntlets with her costumes. Her mother, Helen, remains an archaeologist, but now she has a human father named Lennox Sandsmark, who is an English super soldier and is the demigod son of Zeus and brother of Wonder Woman. So we made the man the god instead of his daughter.
That makes sense.
And then Brian Michael Bendis kind of undoes all of this in Young Justice, which we're not going to talk about
here. The current Young Justice,
the second Young Justice incarnation. She doesn't really know that she's a god, but then she is a god, and Zeus tells her so.
But I will say this. The weird thing about this is that, like most of the Teen Titans New 52 characters, by the time we get to the DC Rebirth reboot, mm-hmm, basically everything that happened to Teen Titans doesn't matter. Because when we meet Cassie in the DC Rebirth, mm-hmm, you know, or the new Wonder Comics run, mm-hmm, it's basically like, she's just like the pre-New 52 version.
Exactly. And that's kind of the bummer. You know, we've said this in other lessons before. She gets the same as all of our 90s babies. Mm. She gets these weird solo adventures, and she's a big part of these cool teams. And then kind of after the early 2000s,
yeah,
she's just kind of shunted off, so much so that we have two
major... I'd say 2010s more, but yeah.
But we have two major reboots that happen, mm-hmm, right? With New 52 and Rebirth. And I'm kind of like, I have nothing to tell you. I can wrap this up in 2 minutes, mm-hmm, because she's gotten nothing to do, and she has, there's no focus for this character, so she remains unchanged.
Well, I would say,
even though the rest of the universe changes around her.
I would say the new 52 Teen Titans run, you can best, like, it's just, I wouldn't even bother.
I agree. I think you can skip it entirely. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're going to leave our lesson.
Cool.
In Cassie's hands, Mark. So
she's back in Young Justice.
She is. So let's go right into the recommended reading. Jason, what's that?
Recommended reading is where Professor Ashley is going to give you some books that you can read if you're interested in Wonder Girl. And the excellent thing about this is if you go to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. If that's too long for your URL, just go to geekhistorylesson.com, click on a little tab, there's recommended reading. The entire list of everything we've ever suggested when every episode of Geek History Lesson is there. And Ashley's going to give you these top three choices for what you should read for Cassie Sandsmark. Her name is so hard to say. Cassie Sandsmark, that you can click on. It'll take you to Amazon. You can pick up the book, and a little bit comes back to the Mayan University.
I actually have four recommendations.
Well, I'm sorry.
One of them is hard to find.
You're fired. We only do three.
My first recommendation is Young Justice Book One. That is the OG Young Justice.
Woo! Peter David, Todd Nuck.
Yeah, it's awesome. This is, I know she appears earlier in Wonder Woman, but in my opinion, this is the best, cleanest introduction to her because it's more about Cassie and it's less about Wonder Woman. And I like her a lot. And
love it.
She brings a lot to the Young Justice team. She brings a lot of balance that's needed to that book. And this version of her is adorable. I'm also going to recommend Young Justice Gem World. That's the first volume of the Brian Michael Bendis.
The Wonder Comics run.
Yeah, reboot of it. If only for that Doc Shiner cover that she's on of issue two.
Her costume,
so stunning.
Her costume redesign by Patrick Gleason is excellent.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about costumes in discussion.
Oh,
so,
man, I'm sorry.
I'm going to recommend Wonder Woman by Greg Rucka, Volume 2. This is what's known as the Bronze Door arc. She's on the cover of this volume. You get to see her playing in Wonder Woman's world. She goes with Wonder Woman to confront Athena about what they're doing, trying to offset Olympus and take over from Zeus. And this is my favorite version of Wonder Girl and Wonder Woman trying to figure out what it looks like now that Cassie's a little bit older. And this is actually where we get the scene where Wonder Woman says, I respect you as a hero. You are now a woman in my eyes. So it's a great growing story for her. And then lastly, I want to recommend that weird miniseries that I talked about called Wonder Girl, The Labors of Cassandra.
Did they collect it in trade?
They did. It is not in print.
Of course not.
But you can find used versions of it.
Okay.
But because there's not that many, I wanted to...
And it's her only solo series.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to give three that were easy to find, and then this one, I wanted to sort of tack this on the end.
Yeah, so if you want to pay $87 for a used copy, there you go.
They're definitely not that expensive. So let's roll into the discussion. Jason, we've danced... Beep, beep,
boop, boop, boop.
Danced around it the whole episode.
That's my theme for discussion.
No, it's not.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, boop.
Oh,
my dear, our discussion.
What's your favorite Cassie costume?
What's yours?
My...
I know I deflected your question with a question, but I'm actually genuinely more curious what your favorite costume is.
My favorite costume for a long time was her Geoff Johns Teen Titans costume.
Oh, I hate that.
It's where she has pants and boots and she has like a Wonder Woman style bustier and the black headband. It's not a bustier, it's like a t-shirt, but it's a crop top. And I don't like, yes, that one. I cannot.
I just showed Ashley a picture.
Show me a picture, yeah. I cannot abide superhero women with their bellies out. I know that...
And this one has the belly
out. I know that it's male gazey. I know that they're all these hyper-sexualized characters and that happens to men too, but your belly is where all of your guts are and all of your soft parts. So just strategically, it makes more sense to me that Wonder Woman has no sleeves than that Wonder Girl has her stomach out. That's my only issue with it. If it were like a Donna Troy red jumpsuit, but in that same design, it would be my favorite. But honestly, like the Wonder Comics costume where she has the leather jacket over
and
the
skirt
and it's so cute. And for me, it so perfectly epitomizes what a teenage girl would dress as a superhero. I really, really love that one. So now we're circling back around. What's your favorite Cassie costume?
I mean, my favorite version actually is the costume that combines both those eras. It's the costume right before your era. It's the one where she has the black tank top. Now, I understand
that's
she has
the Young Justice cartoon design.
Well, actually, because they get rid of the midriff. I actually was going to say the Young Justice cartoon design, I think, is the best version because it closes her up more. But I like this version because it has the black of her original costume and she still has her goggles on her head, because there's something about her, those glasses, those goggles. I love being a part of her costume. I think once they start taking her to jeans and t-shirt, which is what they do like in the other two arcs of that Jeff Johns Teen Titans, I don't like it as much because to me it kind of comes off as lazy. But I understand the idea of like, well, they're teenagers, would they really have costumes?
They're a little more casual. Yeah,
but I don't know, I want a costume. I guess I'm reading superhero comics for a costume, so I want a costume.
That's fair. I think that's what I like about the Wonder Comics one, is she has it's like a leather jacket and it feels throwbacky to her OG costume as well. One more quick question. Do you think Cassie is a good leader for the Teen Titans?
No.
Why not?
I don't know what it is, because you think that somebody who worked under Wonder Woman would be a good leader.
And was trained by the Amazonian warriors.
Yeah, but the thing is that her relationship with Wonder Woman is almost like Connor's relationship with Superman. Mm-hmm. Like half the time, Diana doesn't want to acknowledge her.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, but then why did you let her be trained by the Amazons? Mm-hmm. It is weird, right? When we look at this and we kind of talked about this in the Connor Kent Superboy Geekish Lesson a little bit. It's weird when Batman has the best relationship with his psychics.
The healthiest one,
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, he brings them under the wing, and even though he's kind of a pain in the ass to them, he generally trains them.
He loves them.
Yes. Whereas, like, Superman and Wonder Woman are like, I guess I'll train you because you're around, but, like, don't hang around me, kid.
Can I tell you why I love Cassie and I don't think she's a good leader for the Teen Titans?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Because when Teen Titans is written by men, which it's only ever been written by men, Cassie is always the character. It was Cassie and it was Starfire before her. They are the hysterical females. They are the hysterical girls. They are the ones who get overcome with their emotions under the guise that, well, this is how teenagers act. And look, I was a teenage girl. Teenagers absolutely act this way, but none of the male characters get this treatment. Starfire and Cassie are like blinded by their emotions, and Cassie spends such a good amount of her history grieving over Connor that it colors her ability to be a good leader, because all the reasons that you pointed out, she should be an excellent candidate, but every time
she should be the best leader,
every time she leads them, it's just like a goddamn mess. And I think it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because technically, when you think about it, her and Robin are the two that actually have sort of military training.
Or as close to as we're going to get.
And Robin has more vigilante training. But when you think about it, like, she was trained by the Amazons. She was taught how to fight a war.
Yeah.
That's how the Amazons would train
you. Ancient Roman tactics. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they would be like, this is how you fight a war. Mm-hmm. So in those terms, she would be the best leader of the Teen Titans, because Robin would have some problems dealing with people personality wise, or inspiring people, right? So she honestly, in this, in our batch of 90s babies, or generation three, going off of whatever DC calls it,
we're never gonna call it that.
I hate that. They or generation three, generation four, no, they're generation four.
I don't care,
freaking know, because they're Young Justice characters anyways. She should be like probably the best leader out of all of them. And it's weird that she's not. You're right. They write her as the
hysterical girl.
Yeah. Which is a shame.
All right. Let's roll right into the teaching tweet. Jason, what's that?
The teaching tweet is a section of this podcast that I sometimes forget to do because I rail against it. But that's where Ashley is going to tell you in less than 180 characters or so about Wonder Girl. And you can find this tweet on GHL Podcast on Twitter, our official Twitter account.
Cassie Sandsmark, the Wonder Girl we deserve! Exclamation point.
Is that it?
That's it. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Yeah. By the way, I just realized I forgot my teaching tweet in the last Geekish Lesson recorded, which I won't say.
Did not.
All right. Cool.
I can hear you clicking that pen, though, so please.
What's next? The listeners can't hear it. And what's next?
They can. The
honor roll is where if you go to Apple Podcasts, which is no longer iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review, it helps bump us up in the iTunes Apple Podcast algorithm, and we'll read it on the show. And if you are listening to the show somewhere in the world that is not the United States, specifically Perth, Australia, please go leave us a Apple Podcast review on your Apple Podcast provider and email us a screenshot of the review. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We'll still read on the air.
Our first introduction into the honor roll is Gingy92, who says, first podcast. I love being able to pop onto your podcast and learn so much in about an hour. I never listened to podcasts before I discovered Geek History Lesson.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks for being great.
Oh, well, happy to be your first.
Gingy92. Joining them is VDKGVFFJNBB. Please, for God's sake, just type your name. Who gives us 5 stars. I love you, but please just use your name. Or a word, and says, such an awesome podcast. I was looking for a podcast that discussed superheroes and comics for the longest. So glad I found it. See, they also understand that brevity is the soul of wit. And then rounding out our honor roll team today is Nothing Lost 83, who says, love this podcast. Love this geek podcast. It ranks right up there with anything that Smodcast and Kevin Smith put out.
Oh, yeah. You hear that, Kevin Smith? We are coming for you.
Tweet at Kevin Smith and tell him to be on the podcast.
Actually, I will let it out. I will let the listeners know. We have tried to get Kevin Smith on this podcast
for approximately 100 years
several times. Mm-hmm. And we have been unsuccessful. We've had email conversations with his manager, but we have not gotten him on the show. Yeah. So tweet at Kevin Smith to come on Geek History Lesson, because we would love to have you know what, I would do a Jay and Silent Bob one if he would come.
Look, we could do one on this. What's his?
The View Askewverse.
Yeah, I was like, what's it? I was like, the Smithverse. Yeah,
yeah.
Great.
I would do one specifically on Clark's the Animated Series. We're friends with Paul Dini. He worked on it.
That's true.
So
yeah, those are our honor rollees. Jason, welcome them to the Teacher's Lounge.
Hello, welcome.
What do they get?
They get to come inside.
Okay, well, good improv is saying yes, but...
Listen, you three people, we've given you the key. You get to come into the Teacher's Lounge. There is a giant bowl of oranges on the coffee table left there by Mr. Kvasic.
What does Mr. Kvasic teach?
He's this bus driver, because I've used his name before.
Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Don't forget, be like them. Go leave a 5-star review on any of the podcast services that you listen to us on. Remember, guys, we are on Spotify. We are on Stitcher. We are on Apple Podcasts, all the big ones. And also, don't forget to follow us on social media. Ashley, where can they follow the podcast on social media and also suggest future lessons?
Yes, if you want to be like our awesome TA today, who was Carlo Cotignola, you can go to geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or hit us up on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a bunch of ways to contact us in all of those places.
That is correct. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, and follow Ashley on Twitter and Instagram, especially if you want to see a lot of cat pictures of GHL intern Braco, Ashley V. Robinson, at Ashley V. Robinson is where you can find her in both places. And now, the final section of the podcast, hashtag stick around. If you like this section of the podcast, go use it on Twitter. Tell us you like it. This is basically the part of the podcast where we make sure that you stick around the plugs. Ashley, what are we talking about?
Would you rather
see
Cassie
uh-oh.
Make her first live action appearance
uh-huh.
on Supergirl?
The CW show.
Or in a Wonder Woman movie? And why?
Wonder Woman movie, 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to show up in Supergirl at all, because I know on Supergirl she'll be the watered down version of, oh, we couldn't get the rights to Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. so we're going to use the second best thing, which is Wonder Girl. I think in my perfect world, I think it would be really cool if in Wonder Woman 3, which I bet is going to be called Wonder Woman 1999, you see Cassie in that movie. But sad fact, listeners, is that the first Wonder Girl that we will see on screen, we've already seen her on screen in Titans, Donna Troy, that's going to be the one we see in the movies. They won't do Cassie, they'll do Donna.
I would love it if in a Wonder Woman movie, if we change Cassie's origin a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Because we know that in that show, in the modern age at least, Diana works at the Louvre. And I would love it if Cassie were like a little French girl who worked with her at the Louvre.
Can I give you an alternate pitch?
Sure.
The only way I'd want her to show up, the only way I think she would show up in the CW verse is if they changed her name.
To
now,
what?
Well, we can't call her Wonder Woman. We can't call her Wonder Girl. What if they had Cassie Sandsmark show up as sort of an Amazon type character and they called her an old Donna Troy name, Troya? Would you be A-okay with that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I think Troya only makes sense if your name is Donna Troy.
Yeah, but the reasoning for that name in Donna Troy's story is because she went off into space and talked to the gods.
I know,
and
but it, I mean,
it's not literally just, because her name is Troy. But
I mean, it absolutely is because her name is Troy.
For a production reason, yes.
But. I just don't understand if your name isn't Troy.
Mm-hmm.
What does Troya mean? What does it signify?
I don't know. It leads to
me, Wonder Girl is like, well, okay,
it
great.
Leads to like the Greek gods and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't be adverse to giving her a different name, but I don't like Troya.
Mm. I don't know like any other Wonder Woman names.
That's okay. So, when the CW pays us to bring her on to Supergirl, mm-hmm. we'll figure it out.
Sure.
Yeah, I was just wondering where you might like to see her best.
Definitely in the movie.
Cool.
But yeah, I think you're right. If we see her in a movie, we'll probably just see a little girl and they'll
name
her Cassie.
Cassie, yeah. Kind of like how Cassie was introduced in Ant-Man.
Or it'll be like, you remember the scene in Captain America Winter Soldier where the little kid sees Steve Rogers in the Smithsonian?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see them doing something like that in the third Wonder Woman. Or even in 1984, mm-hmm. where Wonder Woman's in a museum and some blonde-haired little girl, like, figures out that Diana is Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and Diana just goes, shh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or be like, this is our secret, Cassie.
Oh,
and that's all we get.
That's cute. That'd be really cute. That'd be fun. I would love to see her in live action just because I love Cassie so much.
I don't know if this is going to be part of your extra or what, but I love Cassie in concept.
Mm-hmm.
I think her execution has been lacking. It's funny.
I will agree with that. That's actually not in my extra.
There's a divide in Cassie where mm-hmm. I lose interest.
I agree.
It's Infinite Crisis.
But when she's good, she's so good.
Like everything before Infinite Crisis,
I agree 1,000%.
I love Cassie.
Because they make her a whiny, bitchy teenager.
Yeah.
They make her what we all think we don't like about teenage girls after that. Like, she's hysterical. Mm-hmm. Like, and she's so obsessed with Connor.
Which
and, like,
is,
I get it. He's her first love. And, like, whatever.
Which
but
is a little,
that's
yeah.
not an identity.
But because for me, like, my favorite Cassie is Young Justice and John Byrne Wonder Woman Cassie.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Cassie. Because mm-hmm. I think she's fun. But, mm-hmm. because you're right. After that, she just becomes obsessed with Connor. And you're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So, all right, cool. Thank you so much for our extra long, extra stick along. So
stick around,
whatever. I'm calling it stick along now.
Gross.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I am Jason, sometimes wears red pants, Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, will you please close out this wonderful podcast?
Class is now dismissed.